The date was approximately 4 BC, and the place was Bethlehem.
Good morning. My name is Gaspar. I am one of the wise guys. One of those wise guys that you have heard from Matthew chapter 2. And I understand that you're going to listen to a sermon today entitled, Christmas Devotion. Well, I have decided to show up here today because I wanted to clear up some of the confusions and tell you about real devotion, true devotion. Let me tell you my story. I was raised in the area you now know as Iraq. I loved to study and learn and was always asking questions. One of my favorite things to do was to stay up late at night and just to gaze at the stars in the sky. They're absolutely amazing. In fact, I got to the point where I could close my eyes and I could point my fingers in the sky and name the star or the planet without even looking. I never got tired of doing this. One night when I was much older and I was laying flat on my back after a long day, and I noticed a brand new star in the sky. This had to be a mistake. And so I consulted the constellation charts and realized that this bright light had never been recorded. I kept the discovery to myself at first because, well, it was so special. I wanted to see if it would appear again. And sure enough, it showed up every night. And I was determined to discover what it meant. But then I noticed something even stranger. You see, the star seemed to be moving and changing positions like against the constellations like no other star. And I ran to my fellow astrologers and excited to tell them the news, but they had already seen it as well. Then we debated about what it meant as we did some very complicated calculations. And most of us came to the conclusion that the star signaled the birth of a new king somewhere to the west of us. Off in the west, there must be a new king. I couldn't quite understand it, but it was not uncommon for the birth of a ruler to be associated with bright lights in the sky. And I can't adequately explain how much I was drawn to this star. Others seemed to forget about it after a while, but I was fixated, I was obsessed with this star. This star of wonder, this star of night, star of royal beauty bright. I almost feel like singing. I was determined to get up and follow it no matter where it led me. Something was tugging at me, but I couldn't quite put my finger on it. So I decided to look into some of the historical archives, and then I remembered centuries earlier in our country. Our country had attacked this little nation of Judah and brought back some of their best and their brightest. And among them was a man named Daniel. Daniel, who was an amazing individual, he had the ability not only to interpret dreams, he even told King Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was about. So I searched the Jewish scriptures and I found Daniel chapter 1 verse 17, which referred to Daniel and his friends as the original wise men. My relatives, who were also considered wise men, could not interpret the king's dream. In fact, they were in danger of being executed. But Daniel saved the day. He told the king not only what he had dreamed, but what it meant. And I remember hearing that Daniel often talked about a coming king, Or as Daniel 9:25 says, the anointed one, the ruler. And so we researched these revered scrolls. And I started scrolling through the Jewish scriptures, and I came across some more passages. In a book called Numbers 24, it says, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel. Could this star in the sky be the one that would come out of Jacob? Then there's this Psalm 72, where it says, the king of Tarshish and the distant shores will bring tribute to him. The kings of Sheba and Seba will present him with gifts. All kings will bow down to him, and all nations will serve him. And I knew what I had to do. Later, I found a book, a scroll named Isaiah. And it, near the end, in chapter 60, it says, nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. We weren't really kings, but this bright light was pointing us to a newborn king. We could no longer delay. We must go. That night, I checked the star again, and it appeared to be saying, hurry up, follow me. I'll lead you to the one you've been looking for. And I somehow knew that my life would be incomplete if I did not meet this king in person. This was our opportunity to be kingmakers. Kingmakers in another country. Wow. And I started gathering some gold and other valuable gifts, and I spread the word among my fellow wise men that we needed to go see this king. Now, I was surprised to find out that there were many, many who were willing to join me. It was a long journey. Our adrenaline was pretty elevated at the beginning, but then it got difficult, and we realized that, well, we're following a star. We can only travel at night. That poses some problems because it's cold. Do you know how cold it gets in the desert? Oh, it's cold. Almost like this place I'm in today. It's cold. But not just cold, there are many, many angels, or not angels, animals lurking in the night. And the path was not clear. It was dangerous. Some nights, the clouds would obscure the stars and we couldn't move forward. Life is like that sometimes, isn't it? Some of you have set out on a journey to discover Christ, only to be met with doubts and difficulties. Waiting is not easy, especially during the days when the sun made the sand so hot we could barely stand it. Other times, I confess, I lost confidence. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. More singing, never mind. If this star was pointing to a great king, why was the path so hard? Why was it so difficult to find what we were looking for? Well, nothing seemed easy anymore, and several wanted to turn back and go home. It was especially challenging when we met fellow travelers who made fun of us, who laughed at us for following and chasing a star. There were times when we didn't even really feel like wise men because, frankly, our journey seemed so foolish. What possible difference would this newborn king make in our lives? My fellow travelers were tired. Many wanted to go back home so they could make money advising our own king, not the king of a foreign land. But we pressed on because the star never stopped shining. It never stopped moving. After many months, we finally arrived at the capital city of Israel, a backward, primitive land that was under Roman rule. There was just one problem. No one was celebrating the birth of a king. They were all just going about their business like nothing was happening. It was just normal tasks. How could this be? Nobody's celebrating. We realized we were lost. This happens even to wise men. And throughout the centuries, you have no idea how many times I've heard, if it would have just been wise women. Wise women who made the trip because they would have asked for directions. They would have made it to Bethlehem on time. They would have helped with the delivery, cleaned up the stable. They would have made a decent meal, more useful gifts. But no, it was wise men. In any case, our large delegation must have had a huge impact because King Herod, he was willing to see us. And we were really excited and assumed that this newborn king may be the son of King Herod. When we were face to face with him, we asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Well, we expected Herod to be happy with our question. Instead, he was greatly disturbed, because the Roman Senate had named him king of the Jews. Actually, he was extremely agitated. He started shaking violently. And we got nervous, because we had heard about what Herod did when he was mad. Over the years, he killed many people. His brother-in-law, his mother-in-law, two of his sons, even his wife. He murdered out of spite, and he killed to stay in power. And here we were asking the question, where is the new king of the Jews? Well, Herod called together a meeting of all the religious leaders and teachers of the law and asked them to let him know where the Messiah was to be born. Well, these experts in their law, they didn't even hesitate. They didn't pull out their scrolls. They didn't pull out the commentaries. They didn't pull out anything. They just knew that the prophet Micah had written 700 years earlier in Bethlehem in Judea. Well, I couldn't find that one. I don't know. But they knew it better than I. And now Herod knew where the birth took place, and he wanted to figure out when it happened. So he called a secret meeting with us. He seemed crazed and screaming at us, wanting to know more, the exact time the star had first appeared. When we told him, he got out his calendar and told us, "Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Who did he think we were? We could tell Herod wanted to wipe him out. There was no way we were going back to him. We're wise guys, okay? Hello? And so, incidentally, there's still a lot of hypocrisy when it comes to worship today. Many people say they worship, but they're really centered upon themselves, like Herod. He didn't want to really worship. And people may not understand what worship truly is. Well, we very quickly left the palace. And when we got to the outskirts of Jerusalem, we saw the star again. And we were really pumped because we were so close. We knew we were close. We could see it. We were in a hurry now because Bethlehem was only about 5 miles away. We could see it. And the star guided us and stopped right over the place where the child was. And the Bible got it right in Matthew 2. When it called Jesus a child, he was a toddler. He was no longer a newborn. It had taken us a while to get there. It took us a lot longer to realize what the star was. For a moment, we doubted that we had found a great king. Sure, the star was shining brightly over the house, but everything else didn't seem right. See, there was no sign of royalty, no wealth, no trumpets blaring. And yet, we were drawn to this child because he seemed to radiate. even more than the star. His mother, Mary, that was her name. She told us the story of the baby's conception and his birth. Her husband, Joseph, spoke of the shepherds and the angels and how they worshiped Jesus when he was born. And Joseph also explained that the name Jesus was given to him because he would save the people from their sins. Then, without a word spoken between us, we bowed down. We fell flat on the floor in worship. And this doesn't show up in your English Bibles all that well, but in the original, Matthew captured it so beautifully. Having fallen, they prostrated themselves before him. We have never seen a king like this before. He was young, but he commanded our adoration. Before we gave what we had in our hands, we first gave our hearts to him, to Jesus. We were wealthy and we were wise, but we knew that we must bow down. We must worship and then give our gifts to him. You see, God, he desires your persons and then your possessions. We considered Jesus so worthy that we had to give him things that were of worth. We gave him gold. We gave him frankincense. We gave him myrrh. Now, realizing that we wise guys outsmarted King Herod, and that we had tricked him. What's that phrase the kids use? Herod freaked out. He ordered the cold-blooded murder of all the males less than 2 years of age. Herod the Great had become the butcher of Bethlehem. He was addicted to power. He was obsessed with possession. He focused on prestige. He was filled with paranoia. But there's a better way to live than that. See, after we left the land of Israel, we had a long time to think. We had a long time to think through what we had learned, what we had seen. And I shared these thoughts with your incredibly handsome pastor. And now I will pass along, he will pass along to you these several choices that you can make at Christmas time.
Hi, I'm Dave. As you may have heard, the date was about 4 BC, and the place was Bethlehem. One of the choices that we need to make at Christmas time is to respond to how God is trying to reach you. See, don't be too surprised at what God will use to get your attention. God is infinitely creative in the ways that he speaks to people who seem to be so far from him. He could use a star. He can use a book, a conversation, a television show, a song, or even just a chance comment from someone you may or may not even know. You see, if God can reach the pagan wise men, he can reach anybody. The bright star served as a travel guide for this group of Christmas seekers. It was God's gift of direction as it pointed to the King of Christmas. Let me tell you, those who search diligently for Christ will eventually find him. I can look back on my life, and I think of my grandfather who told me on several occasions that God was calling me to be a pastor. Yeah, it took many years before I actually believed him and heard the call on my life. But I remember those words very well. Dave, God is calling you to be a pastor. You're just not listening to him. Perhaps God has someone crossing your path
Someone at your work, perhaps one of your neighbors, your parents, your grandparents. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe you're the person who's supposed to cross somebody's path. Someone whose light was bright. Someone whose love is real. Whose faith is so compelling that you find yourself wanting what he or she has. Are you that person to someone else? Is your faith so compelling that others just can't help but be drawn to Jesus? Some of you know exactly who it is that is in your life, but haven't wanted to follow because you've been saying that you don't like the direction it's pointing. It's not easy to listen to a star who might also be your spouse, is it? It's not easy to follow a parent. Or maybe God is trying to get your attention through your own child, through a friend, through the ministry of the church. Well, don't forget to consult the scriptures. Because if you're just going in circles, God's word is the living word. It will speak to you. So remember to respond to how God is trying to reach you. Because there's so many different ways that he's calling. So many different ways that he's trying to talk to you. Once you figure that out, you need to determine to go, not just to know. Yeah, you may know God is calling you, but you must determine to go. When you think about the religious leaders who should have known better, they missed Christmas because they were not willing to journey to Bethlehem. 5 miles. It just didn't bother to go. I don't know why it is, but those of us who are religious are so often the most indifferent. It's not enough for us to know. We must also get up and go. See, the wise man made a journey, a very long journey that took months to find Jesus. They were putting feet to their faith. They got up and they went. The third choice is this. Believe and receive Jesus as King. The ultimate Christmas question is where is the one born King? Anybody know what the first question of the entire Bible is? It's asked by God himself in Genesis chapter 3 verse 9. It says, "Where are you?" We've been hiding from him ever since that time. At least we've been trying. We've been trying to hide from him ever since, but thankfully, God has come looking for us. He hasn't stopped. He sent his Son to be our Savior. Have you found the one who is born King? Are you still stuck on the discovery path? Or has doubt tripped you up? Ultimately, you and I must get to the part of our journey where our lives our total devotion to him. We must move from the cradle to the cross. Did you know that only 1% of the verses in the gospel center upon the birth of Christ? The other 99% focus on why he was born, to live and to die as our sin substitute. And I can tell you this, if you sincerely want to discover Jesus, if you're willing to deal with your doubts, your destination will lead you to devotion. Some believe and receive while others neglect and reject. Ultimately, what are you going to do? Well, if you are one who has received and believed, and I hope that you are, then this is your choice. Will you share the gospel? Will you share the good news of Jesus? Matthew gives more space to the journey of the wise men from a distant land than he does to the actual birth of Jesus. This shows us once again that God's heart is for all people, not just the ones in a geographic group. We must continue to focus
on the nations, because the message of Christmas is good news of great joy for all people. For all people. The Israelites should have known the words of Isaiah 49 verse 6, which say, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. God's plan of salvation is so amazing and so huge that it could never be limited to just one nation. It was for all people. The Messiah is a light to all. So I ask you, are you willing to share the good news of Jesus? This last choice that you have to make is this. And it may seem a little strange at first, but you must choose to refuse to go back the old route. See, Matthew 2:12 says that the wise men returned to their country by another route. Once we meet Jesus, our lives will never be the same. We can't go back to where we were because God now has a different route for us to take. When you bow before Jesus, you can't go back to the way you came because God wants to take you a new direction. The old way is sin. The new way is forgiveness. The old is death. This new way is life. The old is life on your own. The new way is life with Jesus. Amen? So there are five choices that you need to make at some point along your journey. Will you respond to how God is reaching out to you? Will you determine to go? Will you believe and receive Jesus? Are you willing to share the good news with those who need to hear it? And will you refuse to go back to your old ways? These are your choices. Will you be faithful? Shall we stand and sing our closing song? O come, all ye faithful.